Would you stand with me this morning as we read God's Word as it's found in Philippians chapter 3. I will be reading from verse 3 through 11. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. Rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh. If anyone else think he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. This is God's words. Thanks be to God. Would you please be seated? The pastor said in the introduction, I've spent most of my life in Japan, and I might just add, when my wife married me, she thought she was marrying a typical American Caucasian, but she found out soon that it was more of a poached egg. You know what a poached egg is? White on the outside and yellow on the inside. That was more Japanese than American that it seemed. But one thing that's interesting is if you do travel overseas and go to various chain restaurants like McDonald's, Denny's, and Pizza Hut, each country you go to kind of contextualizes their food. For example, if you go to McDonald's in Japan, you can buy a bowl of soup, you can get a rice dish, in addition to the hamburgers. If you go to Denny's, there will always be a side dish of rice that comes with your hot meal. And if you go to Pizza Hut, you will find tuna fish, shrimp, a squid, octopus, different kinds of fish on your pizza. Because Japanese people love fish, and that's what they put on their pizzas, which incidentally is more like the Italian real pizzas if you go to Italy. But it's all different from one country to the other. If you go to Belgium, when you get your French fries, instead of ketchup, you get mayonnaise. That's the liking of each culture that they go to, that food is adapted. You know, there's the message of Paul here and the message of the gospel. If you take it to a different country, each country has its particular social norms, its values, its issues, its hardships, and their glasses as they look at the gospel. It may look a little different, but at the core, at the very basic, there is only one message. And that one message is what I want to talk about today. As any missionary, all missionaries going throughout the world, there is one message for the whole world. Now, in the message, in the text that we read this morning, we see three things. One is the wrong or incorrect view of the gospel, and then we see the drastic and bad results of that message, and then what that true message is and the way it has a tremendous positive influence in the people's life that hear that message and accept it. So there's the false, the consequences of that false message, and then the one true message that is common to all the world. Before Paul met and experienced salvation in Jesus Christ, his value set was on a wrong message, and it was this. And he lists them here in the text we just read. He took great confidence in the fact that these six things applied to him. First, he had been circumcised on the eighth day, which is the custom of the Jewish law. He was a member of the faithful, honorable tribe of Benjamin, which had been faithful in the Old Testament to the law of God. Then he was not of mixed blood. He was a pure Hebrew of the Hebrews. Took great confidence in that. And he was a member of the strictest and most rigid sect of the Jews, a Pharisee. Not only that, on top of that, he was also trained by the famous teacher named Gamaliel, who was held in honor by all in terms of being zealous. He was one of the most zealous, to the point of even helping to persecute and kill the early new believers, the followers of Christ. And in terms of keeping the law, he considered himself blameless. Every letter of the law, he was careful to observe. So, before Christ, that was the source of his confidence, his achievements, his successes, his behavior. Now, every culture and every country you go to, whether it's Africa or Europe or Asia, in our case here in America even, if you ask a person, if you were to go to stand before the gate and God asked you the question, why should I let you in? The answer would be, well, I lived a good moral life. I tried hard. I was diligent. I believed in God. I raised my family, paid my taxes, and on. So I believe I should be let into heaven. If you go to a place like Japan, thinking through these set of values, Japan is a culture that has a very high standard of behavior, morality, what is acceptable, what isn't acceptable. And if you step outside the rules of acceptability, you're an outsider and no longer an insider. So those rules are inflexible and very highly and clearly defined. And they're similar to what Paul's were here. It wasn't circumcision, but young men and women, girls, babies are taken to the temple. There's the, when they're 5 and they're 7 and 6, 3-year-old, they're always taken to the temple for a blessing, for good luck. The name you have is very important. One of our friends that we lived in an old village, their family, the Yamashita family, was could identify their ancestry 400 years down. So they were well-known, established part of the community, and take good pride of that. Paul had the training of the Pharisee, Gamaliel. Japanese culture, education is all important. Starting in grade school, you go to after school, cram school, you go to junior high, high school to get into a good college and then find a good job in a good corporation that will take care of you. So education was so important. And being zealous, being conscientious about keeping all those norms, being polite, being honorable, being a hard worker, and behaving in a way that is acceptable and conforming to the standards of the group. So there's all this very highly defined and strong pressure on each individual to conform, and taking great pride in being able to do all those things. But there's a real problem with taking a message like this. And the problem is this. Those who can keep the standards and do the proper thing and succeed, get into a good school, good company, achieve, and look good to the society, their problem is that they become content and proud of those achievements. So that's kind of the issue that Paul faced. He had all these accomplishments, but in a way, he was like a snowflake. You know what a snowflake looks like? Exquisite, as you look at it under magnification. Each one is unique. It's shaped beautifully. But what's the problem with a snowflake? It's cold. You look good, but your heart becomes proud. When it becomes proud, it's look down at other people, not willing to be tolerant of differences or failures or weaknesses. So, in a large sense, Japanese culture is like a pharisaical culture where people are expected to behave in certain ways, and when they fall out of line, they are ostracized or they are become self-condemning. And that's the other problem. When you have a standard that you have to measure up, those who are successful look good but become proud and cold, and those who can't succeed become self-condemning and ostracized, rejected, depressed. And that's what we have in Japan today. Because a set of standards, of rules, are adhered to keep, to establish one's self-identity and self-worth. Just looking briefly at some of those signs that you see in Japanese culture today to illustrate this, is that depression, psychological medication is on a huge increase in consumption. Suicide rates are continuing to increase every year. The average in the last couple of years is 90 suicides per day for Japanese culture. There are over 1 million young men, many who've even graduated from good colleges, had something experienced in their life where they feel rejected and went into severe depression and cannot even leave their homes to engage in any kind of association with people. Many of them spend their lives on the computer where there is an impersonal distance between people, and that's their life. Over 1 million of these people. They're called the hikikomori. There's even a terminology for them. And then many young children who can no longer go to school because they've experienced bullying of some sort, because they may be overweight, short, not able to do schoolwork, whatever the reason may be, they've been bullied. And now they refuse to go to school. And because of that, a homeschool movement is really increasing in Japan. The parents have to take over, and the government is even allowing for homeschools now because of this serious problem. Marriages are on the decrease. When young people get married, many of them decide not to have children. So families are getting smaller and smaller. 25% of the population is now over 65 years old. So the working force is becoming fewer and fewer. Why? Because of the pressure and the difficulty in conforming and meeting up to the standards that people expect of them. So that is the result of what Paul talks about before meeting Christ, where he looked at himself and said, you know, I'm a pretty good person. I've done well. And I'm satisfied and I'm acceptable because of that. And we see that those who adhere to that have a serious problem of depression and living with themselves. So, we've seen, talked about the false message, the terrible consequence of that false message. What's the solution? Well, some would say, lighten up a little bit. Lower your standards. And so they're attainable. So you can think well of psychology often will say, well, find an area in your life where you can succeed, a hobby, something you're good at, and achieve in that, and then build your self-esteem up. Well, that works sometimes, but it's not the solution of the Bible. It's not the solution that Paul's pointing us to. It's not God's word solution. For example, if anything, Paul raises the standard rather than lowers the standard that we are to keep. When we read, for example, in the previous chapter, chapters 2, the first four verses, he says to the Philippian Christians, therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also the interests of the others. And then, the ultimate standard, he presents Christ, Jesus Christ. Look at Christ. Look what he did. He emptied himself. He loved us. He became man, took on flesh, even died for us. That's the beauty, and that's the example that we have. It's like, whoa, who can keep that standard? It's impossible. There's no way that we, as humans, can really, truly sacrifice ourselves for the other. Die for somebody else? It's hard enough just to give up a little time or energy or emotional investment in people. And this is what we're being called to. So Paul is not saying lower your standards so you can feel better about yourself. He's raising it higher. So the solution is not to lower the standards so you can keep them so you can feel better about yourself. It is found in his verses 7 and through 9 that we read previously in chapter 3. And I'll read those once again. Here is Paul's answer to the situation, the dilemma that we are in. But what things we gain to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet, indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness by which is from God by faith. And here is the answer to the dilemma that we have. The world's solution cannot provide what we really need. We say succeed and you'll feel good about yourself. But when we succeed, we become proud and cold and self-judging and self-centered. But when we fail, we're humiliated and despondent and depressed. So how can success produce both a sense of confidence and humility? It can't. It's either one or the other. But in the gospel that Paul is talking about here, when he's talking about what Christ has done for us and what we are in him, he is our righteousness. He is our success. He has done what we cannot do, keep the law perfectly. And he has paid for the fact that we are sinners and we do not measure up to his standard by keeping the law for us and dying, being resurrected is proof that that sacrifice God has accepted. And there is our true righteous position before God. Because we're in Christ, we are called righteous. Before Christ, Paul looked to his own accomplishments. But after Christ, he looked to Christ's accomplishments to identify who he was. And so now, we can look at our failures and say, I am a greater sinner than I realized, but I'm in Christ, and he looks at me as righteous. And at the same time, because I am a sinner and accepted, I'm humble, and I'm sensitive to the needs of those people around us rather than judgmental, looking down on people and saying, you haven't measured up, you got to do this. Do like I have and be proud. So this is the message that transcends every culture. It may look different. It's like the McDonald's or the pizza. At the core, if you go to McDonald's, you go to get a hamburger. If you go to Pizza Hut, it may look there, but it's going to be a pizza. In the gospel, it may translate different in different cultures, but the core message is our identity, our value, our hope is on what Christ has done for us. He is our righteousness. And because we believe that, we are humble. We have nothing to be proud of. It's 100% God's grace. Listen to a few of the verses that Paul talks about here in his different passages. Romans chapter 1, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For it is the righteousness of God. It is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. And then, skipping down to Ephesians chapter 2, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Then if we could have the projector, the slide I wanted to show to illustrate this last point, Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. For far be it from me to boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Here we go. Here are some Japanese characters used in Japan which illustrate the importance of the cross. The very top three characters are Jujika, the cross in Japanese. The next character down is to think on, Omo. When you think on the cross, which is the character to the sex, what do you have? You have grace. So to think, and on top of think, you put the first character of the cross, which looks like a 10 or like a plus, you have grace. Think on the cross. That's what grace is all about. We have nothing to boast about. We have maybe the best education, maybe the best family in the town, whatever it might be that we look to, like Paul looked at. He looked at all these things. And then when he met Christ and he realized it's Christ's righteousness that we stand on, all these other things had no value. That is a powerful message. That is the message that is needed in Japan today for all those who are desperate to measure up but can't, and go into depression. It is said that 80% of people in the working field in Japan suffer some form of depression because pressure to achieve, to accomplish, to fit in is such a keenly felt. But we can be freed from that when I find our identity in who it is in Christ. Whether it's Japan, United States, here in Muncie, Africa, Europe, everywhere. This is the message that we must preach, that we stand boldly, boast in Christ and the cross. And this is who we are. I would ask that as you think about this week, we've had missions. Ask God, He's given you this gift of a new identity, new position in Him as righteous, not looking to your works to prove yourself. How can you be involved in getting this message out to the world? And I would suggest for you, there are so many places out there, so many things. Pick one area, Africa, Asia, whatever country, and learn about it. And start praying for that country. Start praying for the missionaries there. And start giving, and perhaps in going to visit. Be involved and let God use you to direct you in being involved in expanding this one incredible, glorious message of the gospel of the cross to all nations. Let me pray at the end. Father, we ask that you would just burn into our minds and our hearts the incredible gift of salvation, the gift of grace, so that we can no longer boast in our accomplishments. We can acknowledge our weaknesses. We can rejoice in the confidence and the sensitivity and the amazing grace that we have in the gospel of Jesus Christ. May you bless that in each one of our hearts, in our lives, that we might be part of the extension of this glorious message. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.